We do rather regularly hear of fires being started by a child or a teenager, some of whom perhaps didn't mean to cause any such damage. And I wonder if you've got any insights into this area. Have you ever had to intervene when your child displayed a little too much curiosity about fire? How did you know it was time to step in? And here's another ludicrous question. Were you that kid? On a day we're here at the ABC, we're asking about your awareness and preparedness ahead of another fire season. How do we tell the difference between a kid's curiosity and something more concerning? Stuart Parks is a career firefighter and a support officer with the Juvenile and Family Awareness Program known as JAFA. Stuart, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jeff.
Are all kids drawn to playing with fire at some stage in their lives?
I think it's a fairly common, the curiosity with fire is quite common. And in fact, even with adults, it's mesmerising, it's bright, it's colourful. There is an attraction to fire that, you know, I think children go through at various stages in their life, yes.
So the question is, how do we know if that kid is just being that curious kid filled with wonderment, or if that kid is starting to display tendencies of a willingness to light fires to cause damage?
Yeah, that's sometimes difficult, but we sort of tend to group kids into age groups as well. From the ages of about 3 to 6, there is that curiosity, and that's the time that we teach them that it's hot and don't touch it. Basic messages like that to them. When they get a little bit older, around the age of 10, they might actually start progressing to what we call fire play, where they do start actually playing with fire. And, of course, we know that unsupervised fires can be potentially very dangerous, you know, from a property perspective and from their own safety. So kids tend to sort of roll through, you know, their ages, and around about the 10 mark is when we look at them. They are more playing with fire or generally, but that might actually be a little bit older also. So it's difficult to actually, you know, finger it exactly.
Tell me then about the Juvenile and Family Awareness Program. What's your role in it? What do you do?
Okay, so I'm a JAFA support officer. What I do is I will basically, we get a referral through our coordinator, and she sends them out to a particular support officer that she thinks will be applicable for that particular child and the background of that child. We actually book a time with the parents.
Has this kid had a run-in before or faced any kind of, you know, accusation of deliberately lighting fires?
It may be the one-off. It may be their first time. It might be a series of fires that have occurred. So it does vary, but generally it's a one-off incident and the parent has reached out for help.
And that one-off incident, do you draw a conclusion that it was probably a mistake, I didn't quite know what I was doing, and I certainly didn't expect to burn down someone's shed?
We do exactly that. We do certainly give the child the benefit of the doubt, and what we do is conduct an interview with them and try and get behind the root cause for them lighting that fire.
What kind of things do you ask them?
What were they thinking at the time? Why did you light the fire? That simple question right there. Were they just curious? Were they bored? What was their reason? And ask them. And that's why it's really important for us to establish a rapport with the child so we get truthful answers.
Are kids panicky when they see you there, or are you trying not to? You might be in uniform as you are today, but you try not to be a police officer?
Exactly. I think at first when they see the uniform, they might be taken aback by it for sure. But part of our role is to establish that rapport with them and to reassure them that we're not there to actually lecture them. We then actually give them a little bit of education about the perils of lighting fire. So they tend to relax if we make that connection with them.
Stuart Parks is my guest, career firefighter, support officer with the Juvenile and Family Awareness Program known as JAFA. We're talking about kids, young people who light fires. Some of you have done it. Some of you have done it out of curiosity. Some of you have done it for a lark. And some people do it because of what, Stuart? When you are able to establish that maybe a kid is a little bit older and has done this with intent, what do you think their motivations often are?
Well, there is quite a few, actually, that might motivate them. Well, one might be a whole pattern of antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
It might be property damage, graffiti. You know, there could be a whole range of things going on in the background that, you know, points to that antisocial sort of flag. It could also be peer pressure as well. you know, there might be a series of fires, but he might have got together with three or four of his mates and gone down to the park. So that's generally something we look at as well. So it's a bit of a bravado when kids get a bit older, around about the age of 12 to 14. They like to impress their mates, of course, and don't want to feel like they're being left out of something. So that might be a motivation right there.
And when you know that, do you ever come into contact with kids who have deliberately let fires that have caused considerable harm, and those kids are either facing charges through children's court or adult court?
We are often referred through the courts, the court system, the juvenile justice system.
Yeah.
But
always sort of, to try and find out more about their motivation.
Exactly.
To teach them so they don't do it again?
Well, yes, in a way, that's what we try, and obviously that's our main goal. But the point is with kids with a whole series of maybe some background issues, social issues in behind that as well, sometimes if they're repeatedly lighting fires maliciously with intent, as you talked about, it might be beyond the scope of the JAFFA program.
Yes.
You know, they need some...
Yeah, yours is a program of empathy. If you go beyond that, you start looking at issues of criminality in the criminal justice system, and
that's
no one is going to be treating them with quite the same...
Well, that's right.
Sympathy. Let me ask you this question, because I think I know it to be true. Some media like using the word firebugs. I don't think anyone likes the phrase firebugs, do they?
Not particularly, no. I think I think the term arson gets overused as well, to be honest with you.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, firelighting and arson are two completely different concepts. Arson is something that is done with intent.
Yes.
And obviously a criminal offence. Quite often children won't be charged with an offence unless there's intent there. And the police really need to establish intent before they can actually charge someone and get a conviction. So when someone lights a fire, maybe because they were just curious or they just wanted to see what happened, or, you know, a young kid, there's no real intent to cause damage there at all. You know, they didn't want the fire to get out of control, but, okay, it burnt down the neighbour's shed or started a bushfire. That wasn't their intent in the first place. They were just being mischievous. They were bored. Sometimes we don't get reasons from them, but
yeah,
there was no intent.
But you can be reasonably confident they don't intend to flick matches in the bush anymore.
Well, their remorse is actually quite obvious.
Yes.
Occasions. Some have things like defiance disorders, and they don't like people in authority at all. They may not relate well to us, and we might not get anywhere with them, and they may return to what they're doing, but that's beyond the program again.
Stuart Parks is with us. We're talking about kids who light fires. I'm really interested in those observations. The firebug, the arsonist, the definitions do absolutely matter here. This is not a how-to guide, but are some things fairly predictable? Holidays and Christmas holidays, are they times where you are busiest?
I would say yes, higher risk times for sure, because kids are unsupervised at home and the parents are at work. So that is a higher risk time for us, yes.
And a hot day or a really hot day?
I would say a hot day, sort of a moderately hot day with a lot of wind around is a high risk day. When it gets really high, I think for some reason, whether the kids be sitting in the air conditioning or not, I don't know, but the really hot days tends to be a lot quieter for some reason.
What do you think you achieve with these kids?
Well, I'm really hoping, and the intrinsic reward I get from all of this is that we can steer kids in the right direction and away from the perils of, you know, maybe a criminal conviction down the track, and all the perils that come with that. I'd like to think we're steering them in the right direction in life.
I'm going to let you go because you've got to start duty, but I also want to congratulate you. I understand today you received your 20-year service medal.
I did. Thanks.
Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you, Jeff.
Stuart Parks from DFAS, from JAFFA, which is their organisation, which basically wants to know why kids do these things and also the motivations and also some explanation to ensure that it doesn't happen again.